Good morning, Texas. Again, this is Mike Paulson from North Dakota with our Cup of Goodness program. This is Thursday morning. We will continue the sermon based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 that we did way back in 2009. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, that being Paul and his band there, received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Very appropriate subject for Thanksgiving, abounding more and more. We will pick it up as we look to Colossians chapter 2. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. So we have an abundance of grace. We're abounding in God's grace. And by the way, we're not abounding in God's grace because we're such good prayers in Hebrews 4:16 to have to go to the throne of God and for to receive grace and to ask for that grace. No, we have it. We're abounding in grace. That should carry us through a day. Now we're looking at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Okay? Rooted and built up in Him. Let's go to 6 here. Verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, which by the way, kind of, doesn't that tell you that we're looking at not at another Jesus? Notice how he says Jesus, but here Paul is very good about that. He says Christ, Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in Him. Okay, there's His call. We shall walk. We've received Christ. Obviously, we know it's the risen Savior. Walking. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, we know that. We're supposed to be thankful. We've been here long enough in a church with a Bible about thanksgiving, and we know we should be thankful. But there's more to this. Really? As we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We should be abounding with thanksgiving. We should be abounding with thanksgiving. We really have nothing to whine about. We're not under the law. Life is a curse. The world is cursed. It's not going to get any better. We know it's going to get worse. We know, as I talked to somebody today, yes, what the government is doing is wrong by taking over everything, but what could it do? It's like when you drive through San Diego, and yes, the environmentalists are nuts. The environmentalists are nuts. But when you see people building houses on cliffs and the trees and the mountains are just full of homes, I don't blame them. And now they have no water. I don't blame them. You go down to Las Vegas, they have no water. Well, there's 45 gazillion swimming pools and there's golf courses in the middle of the desert with 5 million feet high fountains, you know, and then the whole spiel. Well, listen, folks. You know that you're going to run out. I was always afraid of that, even back when we lived there. I cannot live in Las Vegas and not have any water. That was a fear for me. They're right, but they're so wrong. You know, that kind of a thing. So we see here that we should be very thankful, abounding with thanksgiving. Why? Well, look what is between here. Look at verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And then down in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know how that can happen? Do you know how you can be enticed with beguiled with enticing words? Do you know how you can fall for the philosophy and vain deceit and the traditions of men in this world? By not being thankful. You can be doubtful. Because see, being thankful means you believe it. And you know you have it. So you're thankful. And you're thankful. And you're thankful. You're not under the law. Are we even thankful they're not under the law? Or do you still just can't quite grasp that thing? Because if you grasp it, that really means you're not under the law. So what's there to sweat? We learn from Paul what we can do to please God. And we learn from Paul about not to have occasion for the flesh and not to cause somebody to stumble over. You know, sometimes you do things right and you didn't cause somebody to stumble, but they tripped over that thing. And it's not because you caused them. Does that make sense? I would just think about that. People will still trip over things and you didn't cause them to stumble. Now that seems like it doesn't make sense because that's not true. Just think about that a little bit. So anyway, are we thankful? Are we thankful that we really understand the rightly divided Bible, or do we still struggle with this stuff? Do we still have doubt? If we have doubt, if we're not sure, then we have the potential of being beguiled away with enticing words. We have the potential of somebody coming along with some kind of philosophy and fix things and change things. And vain deceit, and the tradition of men, and the rudiments of the world, and it says it's not after Christ. So we have to be thankful. Abounding with thanksgiving means you are just abounding with thanksgiving. Does that make sense? I mean, it should keep us from having our doubts and our worries, because if we have any crack in our system here, we can fall for what the world has out there. That's a thought. Let's do one more. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the kids out there going, Grandpa, you just said one more. Yeah, one more, and it's only been 34 minutes. So, hey, doesn't have to be, you know, these, here they are, abounding. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That's a hard one for me right there. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Now go up to verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Well, I wonder what our way is referring to. Look at verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? So what we have here is we have to learn through the way of Paul's teachings of the risen Savior, where we're lacking in our faith, that he says to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. It's not just your best, that's toward one another and toward all men. And that's hard for me, because he also tells us to avoid from such withdraw. And it's easier for me to withdraw, avoid, not have company with, not be not partakers with. It's easier for me these days to go that route, but that doesn't have anything to do with loving less. So this one's hard for me. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end, part of growing up still, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We'll be coming back together anyway. We have so much pride, we have so much meanness, we have so much lack of so many things as Christians, that it's tough for us to love one another, knowing, of course, that the love is a teaching of the way Paul presents love. We won't get into that here tonight. But we are supposed to be abounding in love one toward another and toward all men. Because wouldn't it be nice if somebody would get a hold of Paul? Wouldn't it be nice? I had a chance, that was the other one, I had a chance yesterday to talk to a man at the store down there. I went into the post office and this guy comes around the corner and says, are you pastor? Yeah, and he's one of those that travels through, needs money, one of those kind of things. And I'm going, yeah, here we go, great. And I talked to him for about 2 hours, I was gone for kind of 2 or 3 hours at the post office, like maybe I skipped town or something, you know. And he and I just talked and talked and talked. And he said, I asked people in town down here at the bar and different places in town, is there a church in town? And everybody said, no, there isn't. So that tells us where we rank in this little community. And then he went to the post office and said, listen, you know, this is interesting. If you guys have a bar, you must have a church. And the lady at the post office said, well, sure we do. Called me up on the telephone and left a message. I'd already been at the post office, and she said, well, there he is. And so we ended up talking, got a chance to show this guy with about rightly dividing, Paul, risen Savior, baptism, and the whole, I mean, everything just kept coming. And it was funny because about 2 hours into this whole thing, and I'm not always in a hurry to get going, but I know that I've also got to hear 15 stories per teaching, you know, I'm talking to this guy. And so I'm slowly driving, I'm just slowly inching along the parking lot in the back of the store while he's standing here with his elbow on the cart telling me story after story, and I'm teaching some stuff from the scripture, so I stop the car and I show him some things, and he said, do you tell this to everybody? Have you told this about stuff to everybody? I said, well, I'm trying. And he said, well, Pastor, they probably don't like this, do they? You know, I've never heard this before. He said, this is really great stuff. And he had a King James Bible guy and the whole thing. I'll tell you one funny story, then we're done here. He was bald. Oh, I guess I should do this backwards. He went to a church one time and needing some help. And the pastor gave him a little kit. This church gives out kits to people. And I'm getting the story right. No, he went to a mission thing. He was in a missions thing, and there was a missionary there, and he went to church at this place. That's what it was. And so they brought in, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars coming up to the plate thing. And he's not being grumpy or unthankful. He's not being critical, nothing like that. He just said that he opened up his box, his gift from this pastor, and it had a toothbrush in it, and this guy has no teeth. Zero teeth. Inside that box was a fancy Coleman brush set. He took his hat off. This guy was bald. And he's just kind of laughing. He said the best thing was is they gave me a brand new leather wallet and with nothing in it. And he's not griping that he didn't get money, but isn't that just something? You know? Come on, Pastor. So I bought the guy some stuff, and we didn't have a whole lot for that, but we tried. But his desire when he left, so he says, I mean, who knows about that crowd, but his desire was, I gave him a couple tracks, and he says, I want to tell somebody about this risen. He said, can I ask him, do you know if you have another Jesus or not? He says, what are you talking about? So I explained to him. He said, as he's leaning on the car, I have never been asked that. Now I don't know. So we talk about all this stuff for a couple hours, we get all done, and he says, as I'm trying to drive away, he says, by the way, Pastor, how do I know I have another Jesus or not? So there was another hour, or another half hour, whatever. And he said, when he left, he said, you know what? I have no doubt that I have the real Jesus. That was good. So you get fruit in that little thing there, based on Paul's thing. But that's a love towards one another, because I really didn't want to go there. You know, I didn't want to do that. Talk, and it was good. But you do that. So there's my confession to the congregation that sometimes as much as lieth within me, sometimes not much lieth within me. So I'm glad. Wish I could be like you, love everybody all the time. Anyway, there you go.